coming up next on Your World.
Chris was a special child. He was smart, outgoing, loving. When he graduated from high school, he got a full scholarship to Appalachia State.
What happened between the scholarship that he earned and then transferring to Savannah State?
His granddad called me and he said, Sharon, Chris been shot in the chest.
How does that make you feel?
Angry, hurt, because we send our child to school to get an education and he get killed.
It's one of these things, I want my kid to come home. And so now safety on the college campus has to become an issue.
Right.
Because their parents who have experienced the loss of their child, when they did exactly what you just expressed. I sent my child to school to get an education, mm-hmm. Didn't send them to school to be shot down and killed.
Hello and welcome to Your World. Now, you know, I used to play football. I was pretty good at it. And before I was called to lead the ministry, I was on my way and had a dream of becoming a professional football player. So when I heard about this young man named Chris and his athletic underdog story, I could certainly relate. He trained constantly and worked hard enough to earn himself a full scholarship. Extremely bright, very talented, and driven to be the best football player he could be. And I would love to introduce him to you now, but I can't. His future has been suddenly cut short. He was recently shot and killed on his school campus. So today on Your World, we're going to meet Chris's mother, Sharon. The sudden loss of her son, the mystery surrounding his murder, his killer is still at large, has left Sharon helpless in her grief. Sharon, like every mother watching, would be in a situation dealing with this unimaginable pain of knowing that her son will never be coming home and the knowledge that this tragedy could have been prevented. Please join me for a very important and emotional look into Your World. Welcome back. I want you to meet Sharon, Chris's mother. She is now going through in real time the unimaginable tragedy of her son's murder. And she's agreed to join us today for not only her own counseling, but also as a warning to you other parents out there who may think your children are safe in a place we all should think should be safe, our schools. Please welcome to our show, Sharon. Tell us about Chris. What type of young man you gave birth to and a lot of his friends were able to experience?
Chris was a special child. He was smart, outgoing, loving, was a peacemaker. Mm-hmm. If there was any confusion between his friends, he would always be the one to say, let's pray. Mm-hmm. Chris was determined. When he graduated from high school, he got a full scholarship to Appalachia State.
In football?
In football, mm-hmm. And he went there, his grades were great. Mm-hmm. He's always been a smart kid. And he got injured, so he decided, he said, Mom, you know, I want to go somewhere else because, you know, he wasn't getting the playing time.
So was it just mostly you and Chris, or how was the family life? Did he have a father around?
Yes, he has a father that was very active in his life. He was a football coach.
Okay.
He coached Chris through peewee football, rec football, and high school. So his dad has always been very important in his life.
So you guys are very proud now. You have a son who's doing well in school.
Yes.
Not in jail.
Not in jail.
Not on drugs.
Not on drugs.
He's earned this scholarship to play football.
Yes.
Was it his dream? Was the NFL his dream?
Yes, that was his dream, to go to the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, he was like, Mom, I'm going to the NFL. I was like, okay, I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
And so when he left Appalachia State, he decided to transfer to Savannah State.
Okay.
So, you know, me and his dad was like, okay, go, you know. And I felt, because he didn't want to give up. You know, he was determined to get his degree. And that's all I wanted. I said, Chris, get me a degree.
So he's a student athlete, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So when he went there, he was doing well, very, you know, loved by all the kids on the, you know, the campus. Would come home. He was working on music as well, a rapper.
A rapper?
Yes.
Okay, so did you approve some of his lyrics?
Some of it.
Uh-huh. And the rest you just stayed out of that,
I just stayed out of it, you know. Chris was an amazing writer. He influenced a lot of his friends, pushed them to go on, finish school, do something, you know. So he was very, very, we were very, very proud of Chris.
Yeah, you have a leader here.
He was
able to inspire other people to follow him.
Yes.
And he convinced people that he knew the directions to get to a certain destination.
Yes.
And they would follow him.
Yes.
You got a leader there.
Yes.
So he has a scholarship to play football.
Yes.
What happened between the scholarship that he earned and then transferring to Savannah State?
Okay, when he transferred, the scholarship didn't transfer.
Okay.
So he had to take a lot of the classes over, but he didn't give up. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to play football there. So he was, you know, going to practices and talking to the coaches and working out. He was doing all of that. The week that he got killed, he was supposed to come home that Friday to let us know that he made the team.
Oh, wow.
And they were giving him a scholarship.
So what happened between him, you know, getting the news that he got a scholarship and you guys getting... I guess you never did get the news that he
didn't
has
get
gotten.
The news.
What happened?
Received a call on August the 27th. His granddad called me, and he said, "Sharon, Chris been shot in the chest." And I started screaming, and he's like, "Calm down, calm down." And I said, okay. I told him, well, let me get off the phone. So when I got off the phone, I said, Chris, that's what I was just saying, you know, Chris, you got to hold on till I get there. So I got back on the phone. I called his dad, and he said, I'm getting dressed. I'm on my way to go down there. I said, okay. And I said, well, just tell Chris that I'm behind you. But we didn't get a chance to tell him.
And so when you arrived there, you discovered that he was already gone?
Me and his dad was, you know, talking back and forth to each other. And he called me, and he was like, Sharon, Chris didn't make it.
I mean, no parent ever wants to imagine getting news like that. I would say I can only imagine, but I can't. what receiving news like that meant when that happened. I'm sure you had lots of questions.
Yes. So when his dad got to the hospital, you know, we wanted to see Chris. Mm-hmm. They told his dad, you can't see him. You wouldn't want to see him like this. We stayed there because they told us that we were going to be able to, they were going to release his body and bring him back on Friday. But the GBI had got involved and, you know, so his dad stayed down and I came back because we have a 15-year-old and he wanted to play in the football game in honor of his brother.
I'm sure the question, how did this happen? How could this happen? You got a bunch of things going on in your mind.
Yes.
Were you satisfied with the information that was being offered to you?
No.
How did that go?
That Friday, we met with the detective at the school, Savannah State, the detective. And we were told at that time that Chris was a good kid. He was loved by, you know, everyone. And the bullet wasn't meant for him.
So how did they describe this? Was it an intentional shooting or was it an accident? How did they describe what happened to Chris?
They just, you know, they stated that it was an isolated incident. You know, Chris was in the student union and him and some of his friends and some other guys, the young man who shot Chris, he wasn't a student at the school. And from my understanding, they, you know, words were exchanged. And
between Chris and the shooter?
Yes.
Okay.
And one of the guys that was with Chris came behind and snuck a punch at one of the young men. Mm-hmm. One of the other young men hit Chris, and Chris hit him. And shot went off, and Chris was shot, and it was over 100 kids in the student union, and everybody ran and left Chris there.
Mm. How does that make you feel?
Angry, mm-hmm. Hurt, because, you know, we sing our child to school to get an education, and, you know, and he get killed.
I'm sure that every parent that's watching us right now can relate to that, and it's one of these things. I want my kid to come home, and so now safety on the college campus has to become an issue,
right?
Because there are parents who have experienced the loss of their child when they did exactly what you just expressed. I sent my child to school to get an education. Mm-hmm. I didn't send them to school to be shot down and killed. So you have to go through the terrible ordeal of burying your child. There were some things you discovered even after he was in the ground. Tell us a little about that.
At Chris's funeral, there were 3,000 plus people.
Wow.
His friends and so many young people who knew him or he crossed their paths or whatever, they were just devastated, mm-hmm. Hurt. That's why now it's my mission to bring awareness for safeties on the college campus. I just, you know, feel that God is calling me, has mandated me to go forth and speak out and to get some laws changed on the college campuses, try to help a lot of these young people who are going through and having a hard time.
Bravo. One of the things that I'm responding this way because it's when we respond as citizens of this country to say we can change some laws, mm-hmm. and we can make impact. I guess one of the greatest sins in the world is for good people to sit back and do nothing.
Right.
while evil continues to, you know, rob us of the things that God wants us to have. So your mission mm-hmm. is to give a voice mm-hmm. to this area of safety on college campuses
yeah.
for it to be evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
People with some authority to go in and to say this can be better.
Yes.
To look at the employees that are being hired where public safety is concerned, and to bring some level of seriousness to public safety because there are lives on the line. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How has God been able to help you through all of this? Because he's going to be helping you as you go forward, but where does grace fit in with all of this, and the understanding of grace help you through this?
It's given me a sense of peace. I still ache
sure.
every day for my son, but I know that he's okay.
How do you know he's okay?
Because I know that he had a relationship with the Lord.
And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yes.
So it's not goodbye, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
It's see you later.
Yeah.
And now you have a mission.
Yes.
And a mission of love, I think, that if we can gather all of the mothers who have had similar experiences together
yeah. mm-hmm.
and come together and organize and intelligently go in and look at the laws that need to be changed and the things that need to be challenged, you can make a mark that will never be erased. And you can tell Chris about it one day when you
yes.
see him. You know, this is a powerful thing, I believe. One of the things that I really want to encourage you about, the fact that, you know, you did a good job. You raised a man.
Yes.
He demonstrated the fruit of what you put on the inside of him.
Yes.
And because you did a good job and you let him know who Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what anybody says, that's the key right there.
Mm-hmm.
That boy, if I don't do anything else as a parent, I want to make sure that my kids know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
So if anything were to happen, Satan still loses, because yeah. at the end of the day, yeah. you still get the victory. Yeah. Tell us some of the first steps that you're going to be taking to try to bring awareness to safety on college campuses.
Okay. The family, we're going to start a foundation in Chris's honor. And I'm going to, you know, go around to different colleges. My goal is to go to the high schools and talk to the seniors as well as their parents and let them know, you know, we as parents, we need to check into the demographics, where the school is, the crime rate, you know, just to help them prepare so they won't have to go through what I'm going through. I want to go to college campuses. I want to talk to the kids. I want to make sure there's, if an incident like this happens, rape, murder, or anything, there are counselors set up, not for just that day, but for if they need it for months, they have access to that. I want to get with clergy and talk with the clergy that's in the area where the schools are and to let them know, you know, please reach out to these kids, because a lot of the young people are having a hard time. They need help.
So you've allowed for this whole situation to inspire you.
Yes.
And not to cancel the rest of your life.
Yes. I have a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And I don't want, when he is a senior, I don't want him to have that fear, and I don't want me or his dad to have that fear that when he gets his scholarship and go on to college, we have that worry that we have now, that hurt, that pain. I want him to be able to go and be okay. So I'm going to, you know, pave the way for him.
That's so good. Yeah. You know, Sharon, I believe for every hard trial we go through,
mm-hmm.
we should come out with more wisdom to assure ourselves that we don't have to go through that same thing, or to try to make it easier for somebody else.
Yeah.
I believe if a person gets diagnosed with cancer, mm-hmm. he should come out with more wisdom than he had before.
Yeah.
that in every tragic situation, that you can turn it around. It's, I'm gonna say it like this, like College Park people say, it ain't over until it's over. And what the enemy doesn't understand is that he struck a fire on the inside of you, and a lot of lives will be saved as a result of the initiative that you're taking. Mm-hmm. And I just believe that the best is yet to come. Of course, yeah, you're gonna miss Chris. It feels like somebody tore your arm off, you know? That's something that over time becomes a part of healing. The grace of God has given you the peace to do what needs to be done and the courage to step out and do what you're doing right now. I just want to say how proud Taffy and I are of you. And I just pray that, you know, if you've ever wanted to see a beacon of strength after going through what you've gone through, audience, don't you agree? This is an example. And I think this is an excellent mission to go after. You just got to start somewhere. When God puts a stamp or a grace on your life to handle it, you go for it. And I'm sure there are people who are watching us today. You may feel a passion for this particular area, and you need to get involved with it. If everybody could get involved with the passion that God puts on their heart, it would be amazing. But, you know, if a black man continues to kill another black man, we're just putting dreams in the grave. We're putting our own answers in the grave, answers to situations that maybe we're going through the day. Somebody had that answer, but they were killed. Somehow or another, we got to stop that. I mean, I know I'm just a preacher, but I'm just saying we got to start somewhere. And maybe just on the inside of our own conscience to see that, you know, here's Chris, a leader, an inspiring individual, and now he's in the grave. And there are people that need to be inspired by him. He was influencing other people. And when are we going to get sick and tired enough to just say, you know what, I'm tired of the system. I'm tired of the jails. I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of being unemployed. I'm tired of the history of a lot of things. You know, I don't know. Your world was designed for us to be able to go into the worlds of people so we can really understand what's happening. And I love God's grace. And if it wasn't for God's grace, you know, we wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for God's grace, I don't know how would Sharon would even sit here today to be able to tell her this story. And yet there is a grace that is available for every individual who will tap into it. And that's my mission in life. That's the thing that I'm going to do until I'm gone, is to let people know that they can be hopeful. And I believe that the best is yet to come, that God can take a bad situation and turn it into a good one. And I believe that's what he's getting ready to do. I believe he's getting ready to do this. Well, you know, there have been way, 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 way too many shootings in the past year. And when the inconceivable like this happens, God will still find ways to show us he is still there. Now, Sharon experienced God's supernatural peace at Chris's grave when she heard from his friends how much Chris changed their lives. Now, here's what we have to believe. We have to believe that God is behind us from the beginning of our days until the very end. And when we believe that, we live like Chris did, sowing seeds in whatever field or purpose God has us in. Chris died too early, but he left a legacy that has changed so many lives of people he knew before his death. And through this program, his story can encourage us to live fully in Jesus' name.